I would not want to even take a guess at how bad things would be if we didn't have the Lord. In the book of Titus is where we'll be reading from this evening. If you want to open your Bibles there to the third chapter of the book of Titus, and you pray for us for the time that we're here. And as I was leaving the church today, in the message I made mention of those anchors, and Tara testified. She took my testimony away from me because I thought about Sister Edwin and what a anchor that she was to so many of us along this journey, a true anchor. And I miss her, but I shall see her again in just a little while. And Brother Clay, we talked about him after church this morning, and you know, all these saints that's outstripped us and gone on. Anchors in our homes, in our lives, that just touched us in so many different ways. Your dad and her dad, and your mom. And some of you are going to get your feelings hurt, but I just look over this church and I see so many of our anchors that God had pulled up and taken to the other side. But it gives me encouragement to know your daddy and your wife, and you know, I could just go on and on. These are anchors that helped us to get to where we're at today. And now we are what the next generation is looking at for anchor in their life. And we need to be a strong anchor for them. Book of Titus, the third chapter. Let's go down and start reading at verse 8 down through and including verse 11. Verse 8, the Bible reads and tells us that this is a faithful saying, and these things that I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And stop reading there tonight. And taking our thought from verse 7, that where he tells us to maintain good works. I believe that we, as God's people, have to be on the job all the time to maintain the good works that the Lord started in our life. Because the devil comes to try to take away those good works and tries to take away our testimony and our witness that we have to a lost and dying world. Whether we realize it or not, there are a lot of eyes that are watching us each and every day. And every day it seems like it gets harder and harder to maintain good works, because the devil comes against us and he tries his best to catch us off guard. And it's not that, I believe we all want to do good, but the devil comes in. And anybody else ever find yourself short-tempered? Find yourself to where you just have to walk away. And what the devil's trying to do is take away our witness and our testimony, so that when people look at us, they'll say, there's just another one of those church people. I don't want to be known as just another church person. I want to be known as a born-again child of God. And we have work to do here. He says that we ought to do those things which are good and profitable unto men. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll want to render evil for evil. But we have to remember what God does for us. He shows us good, and he tells us that we ought to do those things which are good and profitable unto all men. But he said that there are some things that we ought to avoid, because all you do is get into arguments. And I even about the Word of God, I don't believe that any of us should ever try to argue the Word of God with anyone. We can talk about it, but when it gets to the point that you see blood pressures increasing, it's a time for the conversation to come to an end. He said that we ought to avoid foolish questions. And some of those foolish questions we've all been probably presented with, such as, where did God come from? Well, God's always been there. And how do you know he's always been there? Because the Bible tells me so. How do you know the Bible's true? Because I believe it from cover to cover. Right? Well, they want to know where the soul goes when we die, and are we just going to be a bunch of floating spirits somewhere? And I say, no, we're going to have a brand new body likened unto God himself. Where is it going to come from? It's coming in the clouds of glory. When he brings his soul, he's going to speak, and we're going to get up out of the grave, and we're going to have a glorified body likened unto God. How are you going to get there? We're going to ride on the cloud. And they say, well, you can't even step on a cloud. How are you going to ride on it? Because the Lord's coming on it. So we ought to avoid these things when we see that it's going to end up being confrontational. He said that we ought to avoid genealogies. People say, but I want to know where I came from. We all came from Adam and Eve. And I know Mom and Dad, Mark, I know Grandma and Grandpa. And I even faintly remember as a little child meeting or being around my great-grandmother and great-grandfather. Just barely have memory of them. That's all I need to know. But in Christ Jesus, I have a genealogy that goes all the way back to the beginning of time and eternity past. Because I'm his son, he is my father. And he said that we ought to avoid contentions and strivings about the law. People want to argue about the law. Even Jesus had to face this. You remember when he would heal on the Sabbath day, there was confrontation there. When he would go to help somebody or go to dinner with sinners, they would say, he eateth with sinners and with publicans. People are always going to find fault in something in our life. But we ought to try our best to maintain good works, to help those that are down and out, to help those that don't know Jesus Christ, that we might lead them in some way to come to know him. Contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. There's never been one conversation where there is debating about the law or about God's word that anybody ever won. Both of them walked away probably thinking that they got the better part. You know, we're not in this to try to debate the word. We're in it to teach the word, that others might come to know him. And the law just brings us to the knowledge of sin. People say, but y'all don't believe that you can do all those things that the world does. Amen. You can't maintain good works and be like the world is today. Because there is nothing that is wrong in the church anymore. Everything is all right. If everything is all right, Jesus died in vain. We need to get back to where that we can maintain good works, even though it may cause us to be ostracized by society, by our families, or even by our co-workers. I'd rather live for him than anything I know. Amen? And he said that that we ought to avoid these. And I wrote one more in there. And that is that we ought to avoid the horoscopes. Because if you believe in them, you'll believe that man comes swinging off of a tree. And not just these, but soothsayers. And those that predict the future. I love it when they used to have all those, and you still see some of them that read the palms and tell you your fortune. I said it like this, if If they could predict the future and tell you everything that's going to happen to you. You remember there was one that was big time. And they went bankrupt. My question to them was, if they could see the future so clearly, why did they go bankrupt? They should have got out while they had money. But you see, all these things that the devil has devised to try to take our attention off what we should believe. The lines on my hand don't tell you anything other than I've had to work. Right? And not just that, but even babies, Jack, when they're born, they have lines in their hands. So we all have those, and somebody devised a way that they could come up and read the lines in your hand and tell you about your future. I got news for this new generation. They need to get more lines in their hands from hard work. You see, Roger needs to try his best to maintain good works. Because sometimes, how many of you got, sometimes your tongue gets a little loose. Some of you confess. You see, sometimes it's hard to maintain good works when a member of your body is out of control. We need to maintain these good works because there's a lot of people that are watching us to see how we're going to react to certain situations or things, because it goes on to say that a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. And some of us look at that and say, what is he talking about? A heretic is one that maintains opposition to the truth. And we've got a bunch of heretics today that they refuse to hear the truth. In fact, they'd rather believe a lie than they had to believe the truth. Here he says that after the second time, reject them. Has anybody else had to just walk away from somebody? Because there was no way to persuade, there was no way to win, because they was going to defile everything you said about the Word of God and about God in the church, and you just come to the conclusion, we're not getting anywhere. So that's when it's time to walk away. We cannot force this upon anybody and maintain our good works. There are some, and I say this not to be comical, but there are some that I like to go back and drag to the altar if it would do them any good. But folks, I didn't get it that way. And I don't believe that we ought to do that. If God is not more powerful enough to draw them, who and you and I, to try to force them? Because has anybody else ever been forced to do something in your lifetime? You know what it does? It causes resentment to come in. I remember, and I shared this so many times, but Mom and Dad, you kids that grow up today, you ought to be shouting in the house of the Lord. Because when I was growing up, we ate what was put on the plate. And we cleaned up our plate. It wasn't just a matter of taking a bite or two and saying, I'm done. We had to clean our plate. And every time Mom had peas, I knew it was going to be a long set at the table. And I detest them things. And I'd swallow them whole. But then I grow up, and you know what one of my favorite vegetables is today? Peas. Was it Paul that said, those things that I used to hate, I now love? Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So we have to maintain our good works. It's not up to the preacher or the pastor or the deacons to maintain your good works. I have enough just to maintain my own good works. And not that I might be patted on the back, but that others might see Jesus Christ in me and say, I want what he has in his life. We need to avoid things. We need to stay away from things. And there are even, in order to maintain our good works, there are conversations that we have to walk away from. You in the workplace know what I'm talking about. And not just in the workplace, but even when at family get-togethers. It's sad to say that sometimes at family get-togethers, family will come in and start talking in a bad way. And you have to walk away. And you say, won't they get their feelings hurt if you walk away? I'd rather them get their feelings hurt than I had for God to be mad at me for staying there and destroying my good works. You say, well, what kind of good works do we have? God, Christ said it like this in his word. He said, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. We've all got work to do. And how many of us tonight will confess it's never ending? You think that there would come a time that you wouldn't have to work as hard as you do, but it seems like there's no place to stop. We have to keep working and working and working until the Lord calls and takes us out of this life. But yet I don't want it to sound like it's so hard that we're not able to do it. We've got help along the way. I've got my anchors with me. I've got my church. I've got brothers and sisters that are encouraging to us. And for everyone that tries to tear it down, there's someone that's praying for us. God, give them patience. You see, we're praying that God would give you patience. Because patience is hard to have. And you know how many of us that have any patience whatsoever, you know how we got it? By great tribulations that came by our way. How many of you has been through the fire? You've been tested. And it gave you patience. I probably have more patience today than I've ever had because of things that we've gone through. And I think it's more important that we maintain our good works in spite of who likes it and who don't like it, that we might be able to grow in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And every day, you know, I may have already said this, but there are times, even, and Terry will tell you, there are people at every place you work, regardless where it's at, there's people that's going to get on your last nerve. Am I right, Mark? And when you're, especially when you're in management, because they'll try to push you to the edge. And what they're really trying to do is get you to act or say or do something that is ungodly. And in those situations, the way I maintain my good works, Brother Ott, is I walk away. And some of them say, aren't you going to say anything? And I just walk away. You say, but doesn't that give them a bad taste? I'd rather them have a bad taste than I had to destroy the works that God has done in my life. Some of them say things and try to get you. There's a couple, especially, and Terry knows them. There's a couple, especially, that will just push you to the limit. And I'll say, I'm going to pray for you. There's one that says that she's going to the boat and going to use her ties. And she said, what do you think about that, preacher? And I said, I'll tell you the way I feel about it. If you can take your ties and go to the boat, you're the one that will be accountable for it, and God can do without it. She said, but I'll give him ties on what I win. What about what you lose? Because tonight, most of the people that go there lose. They don't win. They don't build those big buildings and put all that lavish stuff inside of them because they're losing money. And you say, Roger, does people really attack you like that even on the job? How many of you thought you was the only one that was being attacked? Or you thought there are some that the devil comes against, but everybody else he leads alone. I'm here to tell you tonight, in even on all my years, the devil still fights to try to destroy my reputation and my name and my good works. And you say, you're proud of that. No, I'm proud of what God has done for me. Because I've done nothing within myself. I'm flesh just like you. I want to be liked. But if it takes me lowering my standards for God in order to be liked, I'll be disliked until the day I die. There's some of you that like me. Amen. Thank you. We all have to work hard to maintain. Paul wasn't just putting this in there just to fill lines on the page. He was putting it in there to tell us that there are things that people will believe a horoscope more than they'll believe the Word of God. Some of them that will believe the astrology more than they'll believe God. People will believe science more than they believe God. And I say, anything you see, touch, feel, or hear is God that made it. He made it all. And he gave it to us. And all that he asks in return is that we, as God's people, live a good life before a lost and dying world, that they might see Jesus in us. We've got a lot of work to do. There's a song that the young people sing every once in a while that says, he's still working on me. How many of you confess he's still working on you tonight? Amen. Amen? Some of you that didn't raise your hands or say amen, talk to me after church. I want to know how you got there. Because it's a journey. It's not one event, but it's a journey. And along this journey, we have to maintain our good works. Tonight, we're going to close with an altar of prayer. We're going to close with this altar of prayer because I got a heavy burden for our people. We got a sister and a Brother Holcomb's daughter that's going to be having surgery on Thursday. We got a couple men that need healing. Here in the church, I got a brother that needs healing, that is in bad shape. We got shoulder problems. We got all kinds of problems in with our people today. But we got one at the house tonight that needs a touch from Almighty God upon her life. And I ask you to pray for Sister Ruby. Sister Ruby has pushed herself and pushed herself and pushed herself for so long. Times that she probably shouldn't even been here. In fact, I know she shouldn't have, that she was. And now she's at the point to where she can't. But I know a God that can. How many of you are witnesses of his power? I ask you tonight to bring these to the altar. I know you can pray there in your pew, but I ask you to join us tonight in this altar of prayer, showing that we're uniting for these that's having surgery, for Sister Ruby, for these men, and for all those that are hurting, those that are down and out. But most of all, church, let's bring those that are lost and undone, that they might get saved before it's too late. And the only way they're going to get saved is if we maintain our good works in front of them until God takes us home. So I ask you, if you're able, join us as we go before the Lord in prayer to close out this part of the service.
Such great confidence in. Lord, we pray. pray for them, that God, to be your will, that you would speak healing to their bodies, that God, that they might be able, Lord, to stand up and praise you for what you have done in their life. Lord, that they might be able to be a witness of someone else who is down and out and struggling along the journey. Show them, Lord, the reality of what God can do when people begin to pray. Lord, I ask you tonight that you would touch her, Lord, and not just Sister Ruby, but for these ladies that's having surgery. I pray for them tonight, God, asking you to give them the surgeons, the guidance that they need, Lord, and when they've done all that they can do, God, that you would speak healing upon that body. Lord, I pray for them, and I pray for my brother. I pray for Rob and Terry. God, you know the need in each of these men's lives. Lord, I ask you tonight that you would be with them and help them. God, that they might receive an anointing through the Holy Spirit to heal their bodies. Lord, and give them the strength that they stand in need of, that they can provide for their families. I pray, God, that you would help us all to be able to do the things that you would have us to do, to be, Lord, able to maintain the good works of all life's journey. Because, Lord, sometimes the way gets hard and gets long. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, are we even making a difference? God, you know all things, heaven and earth. Lord, you know our heart. You know our soul. Lord, go with us and help us that we might be able to get our people in before it's too late. Go with us now. Lead, guide, and direct us, for we ask it in the name of Jesus.